of my favorite local places is Heckrot Wetland Reserve in Menasha. Aptly billed as your nature center for all seasons, it is not only beautiful, but also different in all kinds of weather. My first winter in Appleton, I attended a coming-of-age session there on a snowy evening when the paths were softly carpeted in white. On a humid and very mosquito-y day one summer when I visited again, I felt like the only person in the world. No one else had ventured out. Once in that most hated season, I think of as Why Is It Still Winter, also known as April, my dad and I watched in awe from the boardwalk as four massive deer thundered by, their hooves cracking the ice, shockingly loud in the chilly silence. Heckrot is always recognizably itself, but it never looks the same. Last Sunday, my family, accompanied by an out-of-town friend, took a leisurely stroll there, wandering over the footbridges and taking time to stop at the natural playground so the kids could assess their progress at doing cartwheels on that long fallen log that they hadn't encountered yet this spring. We saw so many shades of green and two garter snakes chasing each other over and under a decomposing log. The smell of spring was in the air. Our honored guest was my childhood best friend, who I have known since we met in a neighborhood park the summer before second grade. Fast friends from day one, we have been traveling life paths that have kept us close but not quite next to each other for almost 31 years. Our lives have been similar in some ways and different in others. We have not always taken the same routes, and so sometimes we have encountered bridges at different moments. At other times, we have arrived at new life phases on similar timetables. But since the transitions themselves were different, the scenery and topography wasn't the same. But we've both always been on the move in one way or another, bridging to new projects, relationships, jobs, identities, locations, and more. Severing some connections and deepening others, always bridging to the next life stage with each other as continuous points of connection. In Unitarian Universalism, when we talk about bridging, we usually mean the specific life step of leaving childhood for young adulthood. Certainly, that is what we are honored to mark here today. But our point of celebration is not just the bridging ritual that we did together earlier. What comes now is equally special. The bridging youth will share about where they are in their spiritual journeys, giving each of us a nudge to reflect on whatever phase of life we might currently occupy. We will hear from Emma Frederick, Will Scheffler, Peter Seek, and Brooke Waite. From this day forward, our collective task will be to welcome these fine people into adulthood and help them acclimate to all of its blessings and curses. But it will also be to join them. They are in a more honest moment in their lives than we are. By we, I mean those of us who did not enter the sanctuary this morning expecting to be categorized as a bridger, as someone who is bridging. But we are bridging, all of us. We are always exploring the next truth. We are always evolving and fine-tuning, editing what we know to be helpful, always developing new ways to explain and live and cling to meaning, especially when the water below the bridge is troubled. This is what crystallized for me at Heckrot last weekend. The life terrain we travel is, in fact, quite often a bridge, sometimes to the next great and grand adventure, and often merely, and most importantly, a practical way to travel towards whoever it is that we will become in our next moment. May it always be so. Emma.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Emma Frederick, and I've been coming to the UU since I was born. I had my dedication ceremony in the old sanctuary, which is now the Fellowship Hall, and I could even tell you memories that I have of every single room in this building, from being in third grade and learning about Buddhism to being in the coming-of-age service 2 years ago and proclaiming my credo. Throughout my entire life, I have been supported and raised within these walls. 2 years ago, I walked into the forest at Camp Helen Brockman and came out with a 6-word memoir of live life fully with no regrets. I remember feeling excited, but at a loss of how to go about it because I had no idea where to dive into my thoughts. Yet, after I had spoken on the podium, Jay Thomas, my mentor, gave me the book Good Without God by Greg M. Epstein. And Jay said to me, "We only talked about your beliefs for a little bit, but the minute you told me, I was reminded of this book." He found a reference point to help me further recognize what the possibilities were. And truly, the book gave me peace, because Epstein stated that humanism is being good without God. It is above all an affirmation of the greatest common value we human beings have, the desire to live with dignity, to be good. Humanism rejects dependency on faith, the supernatural, divine texts, resurrection, reincarnation, or anything else for which we have no evidence. To put it another way, humanists believe in life before death. I needed this dearly, almost as a restart to my entire way of understanding my beliefs. I realized that I needed to accept my desire for a spiritual, almost soul-searching expedition through speaking more with our congregation's youth and adults who are willing to expand the mysteries my mind could search for and wanted to search for. This congregation has thoroughly pushed me to open my mind to new possibilities, to trust personal curiosities, and to rejoice in spiritual growth. Jay's positivity and warmth still impacts me today when I realize I will always be striving to develop my UU identity. This space has been most wonderful in welcoming my growth and mind and spirit, and I couldn't be more thankful. As I continue my journey, I know that this will always be a second home. Thank you all for creating this community.
Good morning. My name is Will Scheffler, and much like Emma, the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship has been an important part of my life for as long as I can remember. It has taught me how to find my own path and how to feel secure in my beliefs, even if they aren't the same as those of my friends. It has given me adult mentors that I will always admire and look up to. It has shown me how to be a good friend and member of a community. But it has also provided me with a way of life, principles to live by, values to uphold, and goals to strive for. Unitarian Universalism, to me, is treating everyone with respect, taking part in social justice, and doing my part to make the world a better place. As I go forward, I will try to continue to live by these standards. For the next 4 years, I'll be studying international relations with the hope of focusing on human rights, humanitarian aid and relief, and global equality. Unitarian Universalism has undoubtedly been a driving force behind this decision. Our focus on social justice, as you use, has always been important to me, and as I have never been one for exploring the divine, I found my path in Unitarian Universalism here. The message of the worth and dignity of every human being has led me to where I am now and will continue to be an important place in my life long after I leave home. It's hard for me to imagine living in a place where I can't go to a fellowship service on a Sunday morning, but that's the reality. In a little over 3 months, I'll be moving to a new place, far from home. It'll be unfamiliar and scary at first, but I will hold the lessons I've learned through Unitarian Universalism close, and it will make the change easier. I will continue to remember our principles. I will continue to engage in social justice and advocacy. I will continue developing my beliefs throughout my lifetime, because when I do so, I know that the fellowship will always be with me in spirit. Thank you.
Good morning. When last I stood before you all, I was a very different person. Physically, I am mostly the same. My hair may be shorter, but my stature, glasses, and general appearance have changed very little. I don't consider this terribly representative, however, of my internal growth. I'd like to read the final portion from my credo from 2 years ago. A thought crossed my mind. What if I look back at this in a year and regret it? If I do regret it, I hope that means that I have moved somewhere above or beyond where I am now, because this is where I am now. I've done my best to conquer my fear of becoming better. It's now my goal. Looking back upon the remainder of my credo and my speech, this is the case. Many of the sources of inspiration I cited and many of the conclusions I drew, I would now consider naive, to put it kindly. Since that day I sat in the woods, I've encountered some of the greatest failures and some of the greatest successes of my life. Those have led not to fully new conclusions, but to a heightened ability to comprehend that which I already proposed. My main source of learning has been some of the amazing books I've read and encountered over the past few years. Buddha in Blue Jeans by Ty Sheridan. Caring Economics, edited by Tanya Singer and Matthew Ricard. No God But God by Reza Aslan. To name but a few, each of these has offered both wisdom and inspiration to me. In them, I have developed a deeper understanding of humanity and of life, and I fully intend to continue this learning. 2 years ago, I stood here and stated my credo to all of you. Love always, learn eternally, and become new. To my own credit, I still stand firmly by this. And as I leave the fellowship in August, I leave behind an amazing community and the building that has housed so many pivotal parts of my life thus far. But I take with me many lifetimes worth of learning. And for that, I thank all of you.
As my school's team captain of our public speaking club, I am more nervous for this speech than I should be. And for good reason. This marks the last time I will be able to play on the playground outside without it being awkward. That may have passed a while ago, actually. In all seriousness, this day marks my transition into a new realm of learning adult responsibilities and communication. I am lucky to have been able to rely on the fellowship for opportunities to practice being responsible during my adolescence to make this journey a bit smoother. I am grateful for the willingness and compassion of this congregation for not excluding the youth on adult conversations. So I don't have to go from conversations like, "Why are you playing on there? You're going to break something," to holding conversations about my 1040 individual income tax return. I mean, yes, I did fill one out, but economics really isn't the best icebreaker. While this ceremony is a specific point to recognize growing up, the values I've learned in my 18 years here will continue to mold and change me in my everyday life. The power to be comfortable with who I am, the ability to listen and respect others unconditionally, the goals of peace, being able to believe what I want respectively, these are the superpowers of this congregation, my congregation, that has instilled in me by the first time I entered its doors. And it would take ages to pay back the gratitude in words, so instead I aim to live these values so that the people around me can learn and reaffirm themselves in peaceful values. Thank you to Kim and various special members, the RE community, the pastors, the congregation. I am excited to venture to lacrosse this fall and continue my studies to become a high school science teacher. Please connect with me sometime and we can talk science, but not taxes, anything but taxes.